So Wache, Tikmas Indigenous Cause, Mkwan Dadem, Keshanong, and Don Shaba. Thank you for doing that. I'm not butch enough to adjust microphone stands, as I've learned. You know, it helps to be a little butch if you have to fix a microphone stand. It just, there's something about all the knobs, all the fiddling. Yeah. You can laugh, please. If you don't laugh, this will be really, really, really uncomfortable for all of you. Me as well, but mostly I don't care anymore because I'm on estrogen and I'm trans, so I don't have a lot of fucks. Although Montreal's been fun so far. Yeah, lots of fun. My whole point in accepting this invitation was for Saint-Hubert. That was actually, that literally, I was like, sure, I'll go to Montreal and find chicken. So they didn't give me any sort of guidelines around what I was going to read, so I think I'm probably just going to read, I think my theme will be love lost. That's my motif at the moment, so we're just going to have to deal with that. And when I first started writing this collection passage, okay, that's better. It's hard to tell. Can you guys all hear me fine? Yeah? Okay. When I started writing passage, I figured I had just been divorced, and I figured that it would be my divorce collection, and it would just be like a lot of sad stuff about being divorced and ice cream and television and things. And it didn't really turn out that way, but there are a couple of poems about that divorce, and so I'm going to focus on them tonight. And this poem, Willows, is actually, I really like this poem. I think this probably really captures, you know, any of my romantic experiences in life. Willows. In every swamp, there is a breaking point, too much moisture under the skin. You would never know where the water lies so deep in the soil that it sinks down. The surface looks the same as the rest of the swamp, ferns, mottled red leaves, and the smell of decay. But if you step there, by mistake or design, you will be pulled through to the swamp's underbelly. Your feet captured, legs sucked down while you tip forward into the slow descent. There is no solid ground at the breaking point, no easy escape anywhere, just gravity and silt. I found this out the hard way, a teenager alone in the backcountry. I pulled free, up and out using a strand of willows, their long roots enough to bear the whole of me. I swore it was the last time I would cross the swamp's borders, but then I met you, all bets off. Look where it's brought me, the dusk of early autumn, these wet boots, a handful of mud, your weight on my shoulders, and no willows in sight. I just like the idea of slowly, inevitably destroying yourself through romantic encounters. That's my ideal. You know, people are like, what do you want out of romance? Destruction. Destruction. And I find it, which is good. Yeah. And then, normally I put postmarks in this, but I was really distracted by the chicken, so I didn't prepare properly. I'm not kidding. And one of the things about this collection is we divided it. My editor actually suggested this. It's divided into different lakes, and the different lakes connect with where I was at different parts of my life. And so there's a section that's Lake Ontario, and that's where all the divorce poems are, because I was living in Toronto when I was married. And one of the things that happened, I think, divorces are really weird psychologically, which I didn't anticipate or prepare for. And there's this period of where someone that you're so connected to, someone who's been your best friend, and my partner and I, we met when he was 19, and I was 21, and we were together until I was 26 and he was 25. So that's like this pivotal moment in your life. So we grew up together, and what you aren't prepared for in a divorce is that the person that you're with suddenly becomes not your friend anymore. They disappear from your life. It's not just the loss of like that romantic connection to someone. It's this loss of history, of space, of kinship. And that was the thing that I found so devastating about it. And you don't always realize when you're kind of in that process what exactly you're losing. And I found that it takes this space of time to actually understand what your relationship with someone was. And so this poem, Warp, is kind of about that process. And it's actually about the last time that him and I saw each other, and it was super, super awkward. Well, you can tell that's probably just my vibe generally, right? But, yeah, good, laugh a little bit. Oh my God, you guys are like in a coma. I thought Montreal would be better than this, but you guys are disappointing. Yeah, warming up. Yeah, that's good. Getting into the vulnerable space. Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sad and funny is actually like my Tinder profile. That's sad and funny.
Looking for destruction.
Looking for destruction. That's just assumed. Yeah. Okay, shh. Warp. The last time, our old house empty of our things, floorboards bare and the radiator silent at last. You asked me to help pack what was left, your brother-in-law and best friend as awkward witness. You said nothing out of the ordinary, just hello, goodbye, as the truck drove away on Avenue and I closed up. This is our end. Your face in light, a May 1st move, me smoking on the back steps, 5 years gone. And our house, now someone else's, blessed by my hands along the railing, against the door frames, a silent offering. What could you say? I know it's not fair to expect more of us than a soft landing. We never fought or said mean things. We laughed at others, the crazy couples, your friends' rough sex, pregnancy scares, miscarriages, weddings, ex-lovers sleeping over. I told you we were better because I thought we loved enough to hold tongues, keep the peace. Now I wonder, our last time standing in the front room, you there with your hands full of our life, the kitchen table, if I missed the mark of telling you the truth about love, how you used to rest in me like a warp in the floor, the tilt in our house sending things rolling to the center of it as shifting foundations made ceiling cracks, how we used to joke that we had to break up before the house did, the walls falling in as everything went south, the gravity of us pulling me home. We tried to hold fast. You said nothing either. Stiff-lipped camaraderie like an old bar friend, as if we never fucked, leaving the furniture. So I had to lock our door forever, words in my mouth, you flying back to Calgary, your life in June's transient heat, never revealing, yes, this was our home. Love lived here, even if we didn't learn its scientific name, even if we weren't certain. Even if we parted without saying thanks. And then there's also a whole series of poems in here that my editor liked to call my camping poems because they seem to be poems about me outdoors, being sad, camping. And she was kind of like, you know, that's weird because I don't really think you're an outdoorsy kind of girl. And I was like, I don't know what would give you that impression. I am. I can kill large animals and then skin them. I know how to start fires, obviously. yeah, it's true. But anyway, there is this whole series of poems in the collection that are camping poems. And this is one of the camping poems, but it's actually about the divorce. I told you it was going to be, you know, love lost. But it was, I think, really for me, it was about that moment of when you realize that you don't love someone anymore. And you're not really prepared for that moment in life. Like, I always imagined it would be kind of dramatic, like something would happen and you'd be like, okay, I don't love you anymore. But actually it was like really slow and quiet over the course of like 8 months. And then one day you're laying beside someone sleeping and you're like, oh, I don't love you anymore. And I don't know what the hell to do about that. And this poem's about that. Also camping. I like putting those things together. Nightfall. No one looks for me by nightfall. I make camp, but does it count if the only witness is a murder of crows laughing in their spruce houses? I used to dream of aloneness back when the divorce wasn't sure, and I spent every night shifting his sleeping body beside me. This quiet dark is not busy. Solitary lines of shadow grow, but they don't hold me. Still, it's not peace. Distance looms in the space between the sky and my flashlight. The small circle of my tent as full of longing as our old house. How funny the heart is. an animal in me that wants whatever the wind brings it, to hunt, nest, or die. But tonight I know different. Count the stars, an infinite sprawl that seems to span the great lakes in cold light, a marker of how far I've come from him and how close to me he remains. And then, you guys still good? You're having fun?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from a piece, Kensington series. Kensington Market in Toronto is kind of, I don't know what the Montreal equivalent is, but it's the, sort of the hipster hive zone. And it's mostly where I meet all of my romantic partners for whatever reason. And actually a year ago, basically a year ago, I went on this very tragic first date with a boy, and then went on an endless series of first dates with him for an entire year. Actually, we went on a first date yesterday again. We mostly just fight and keep circling each other. But I wrote a desire poem for him, and two desire poems, and put them in this collection, which is a very romantic thing to do. He should have appreciated that more. He was okay with it. He liked it. He was happy, but it still didn't move us past that endless first date stage. Anyway, so this is my Kensington series poems for Wes. I imagine the inside of your t-shirt, the space between fabric and chest hair, your heartbeat. What I want is to pass my hand along the seam of your public body and its hidden twin, the underself of your skin, the part of you no one knows except for night air. This want is the closest I come to prayer. And then this second piece, which is part of it, I think this is just about being a trans girl and being trans in romantic relationships, which is basically awful. Don't do it. Stay away from it. Yeah, if you're trans, just focus on eating pastry. The estrogen helps with that. It pushes you naturally in that direction. Just go all the way into pastry. B, I want the impossible. To be the kind of girl boys like you desire, not just for experimental sex, late night encounters hidden from the real girlfriends, the one you introduce to parents and call beautiful, the girls I see on the street in their short dresses, hairless with their hands in your hands, no one looking or evaluating whether they pass judgment, if their walk is feminine enough, no one asking if they are worthy. I know they suffer as well from your masculinity, the power you possess, but from a distance, the price of femininity seems worth it. To have your admiration and carry life in my body, wear my skin without thinking today might be the day I end up in a garbage bag by the Don Valley, checking my shoes to make sure I can run fast enough to get away. So ask me again in your voice, your eyes meeting mine, hands second away from touching, what my life is about. I'll tell you I'm a priestess, summoning joy from a darkness only I see. And then this other poem. So there was a period of time right before I transitioned, I think, where I was like having a last go at masculinity, where I was like, I'll try this once more. We've been trying this for a while and it doesn't really work, but so I was into like weightlifting, and yeah, I was doing a lot of like powerlifting and stuff and deadlifts, and it was fun, and I had this, but this is like, you could tell my inherent transness was just coming out, because I had a trainer, and we were like doing this like, oh, what's that thing, like a CrossFit, it's a CrossFit kind of gym, but like cooler than that for more hardcore people, but she was like uber feminist lesbian trainer, so this is the trans part of me, so we just mostly talked about feminist philosophy while deadlifting, and which was great, she's amazing. But we had this whole conversation one time during a session about how women are trained not to talk about what we want, or we're not trained to talk about our desire in public, because that's shameful and that's wrong, and your whole point as a woman is to take up as little space as possible, because if you name your desire, then you're challenging and you're threatening and you're too much. And so she sort of challenged me and was like, well, write a poem that says what you want. And I was like, okay, I can do that. I can totally do that. And I couldn't for a really long time. until I wrote this poem, and I think I finally got it. What I want. What I want is to be held like the sky holds lake water, diffuse and interspersed with celestial bodies. What I want is the slow movement of roots along the shoreline, the drawing close of life to what feeds it, moisture in my lungs. What I want is a love like winter, a cold mountain, absolute and still in the dark of 5 a.m., a certain weight to cover all my dreaming. What I want is a discovery of trees in April's sudden warmth, to bud at a glance, my soft green lashes threading in temporary wonder. What I want is a boy who knows the northern praises, the memory of stones in his hands, a rough callus of grief behind his eyes, who sees me coming across the floodplain and spreads his bones to guide me home along the north shore of my body. What I want is the promise of a new land in the ancestral arms of every season I am heir to. And I'll just read one more piece for you. And I'm reading it just because it's Montreal. So you may or may not know this, but if you're going to have gender confirmation surgery, what you will call bottom surgery, as a trans girl, the only place in Canada where you can get your vagina is Montreal, because you have Dr. Brassard and Dr. Bellanger. And so when you get provincial healthcare coverage, which they cover in Ontario, and I think Ontario and Alberta, and maybe BC now, sexual reassignment surgery or gender confirmation surgery, they send you to Montreal to Dr. Brassard's and Bellanger's clinic. So I will be coming here probably in about a year-ish for my vagina. And it's a weird process because you have to make lots of choices about it. Like, do I want a small labia? And I don't really know what that means because I have not been with women, so I have no context for this. I'm like, is a small labia bad? I don't know. So I'm just actually texting that boy from the first date being like, do I want a small labia? I don't know what he'll say to that. That might be weird for him. But I'm hoping he'll tell me if that's good or bad. I don't know. Like a small, tight labia, apparently. These are options you have to pick. Like, no one explains this. Do you want an oversensitive clitoris? I don't know. Anyway, these are decisions you have to make. So in honor of the fact that Montreal, I'm here in Montreal, and I will eventually come back here for a horribly painful surgery, I wanted to read Girls, which is about being trans. I know it's possible to step from one body to another, to be cut free from biology, to cheat God, be the woman I am. I've heard the surgeons describe the procedure, counted the hormone pills, watched facial feminization, done the medical math, 2 years of therapy, 2 years of electrolysis, 1 year of dilation, a lifetime of risk, cancer, complications. I have the makeup, can walk in heels, speak in a higher voice, a closet of dresses, my favorite leather boots. I've heard the odds, recovery time, rejection, explaining yourself at borders, being chased down alleyways, felt the way men stare. I know everything I need to about the physical, the danger of it, but nothing of the joy, to see my face as it is in daydreams, to become her. I can't say what's right for the girls I know, the ones like me, in between and outside, our dicks tucked in lace. I could accept it, the imperfect change to a body still not mine, no uterus, never passing, burning my veins and chemicals. If I knew the boy I seem could melt away, step back to let the girl I am in, if I knew she just waited for me to cross that river. What stops me isn't fear of not being beautiful, of becoming a freak, being more alone, making a mistake, but the burden of her desire, how much she wants from life, how much she deserves. I can't give anything less than everything she ever needed to be. Thank you, that was fun.